the company, who had stood round us in a profound silence when all was over, helped me to hurry on my clothes in an instant, and complimented me on the sincere homage they could not escape observing had been done to the sovereignty of my charms, in my receiving a double payment of tribute at one juncture. The girls, too, kissed and embraced me, assuring me that, unless I pleased, I was to go through no farther public trials, and that I was now consummatedly initiated and one of them. As it was an inviolable law for every gallant to keep to his partner, for the night especially, and even till he relinquished possession over to the community, the company, after a short refection of biscuits and wine, tea and chocolate, served in at now about 1 in the morning, broke up and went off in pairs. Mrs. Cole had prepared my spark and me an occasional field bed, to which we retired, and there ended the night in one continued strain of pleasure, sprightly and uncloyed enough for us not to have formed one wish for its ever knowing an end. In the morning, after a restorative breakfast in bed, he got up, and with very tender assurances of a particular regard for me, left me to the composure and refreshment of a sweet slumber, waking out of which I found in one of my pockets a purse of guineas which he had slipped there. And just as I was musing on a liberality I had certainly not expected, Mrs. Cole came in, to whom I immediately communicated the present and naturally offered her whatever share she pleased. But assuring me that the gentleman had very nobly rewarded her, she would on no terms, no entreaties, no shape I could put it in, receive any part of it. Her denial, she observed, was not affectation of grimace, and proceeded to read me such admirable lessons on the economy of my person and my purse, as I became amply paid for my general attention and conformity to in the course of my acquaintance with the town. After which, changing the discourse, she fell on the pleasures of the preceding night, where I learned, without much surprise, as I began to enter on her character, that she had seen everything that had passed from a convenient place managed solely for that purpose, and of which she readily made me the confidant. She had scarce finished this when the little troop of love, the girls, my companions, broke in and renewed their compliments and caresses. I observed with pleasure that the fatigues and exercises of the night had not usurped in the least on the life of their complexion or the freshness of their bloom. This, I found, by their confession, was owing to the management and advice of our rare directress. They went down then to figure it, as usual, in the shop, whilst I repaired to my lodgings, where I employed myself till I returned to dinner at Mrs. Cole's. Here I stayed in constant amusement with one or other of these charming girls till about 5 in the evening, when, seized with a sudden drowsy fit, I was prevailed on to go up and doze it off in Harriet's bed. There, then, I lay down in my clothes and fell fast asleep, and had now enjoyed, by guess, about an hour's rest, when I was pleasingly disturbed by my new and favourite gallant, who, inquiring for me, was readily directed where to find me. Coming then into my chamber, and seeing me lie alone, with my face turned from the light towards the inside of the bed, he, without more ado, just slipped off his breeches, for the greater ease and enjoyment of the naked touch, and softly turning up my petticoat and shift behind, opened the prospect of the back avenue to the genial seat of pleasure, where, as I lay at my side length, inclining rather face downward, I appeared full fair and liable to be entered. Laying himself then gently down by me, he invested me behind, and giving me to feel the warmth of his body as he applied his thighs and belly close to me, and the endeavours of that machine, whose touch has something so exquisitely singular in it, to make its way good into me. I waked pretty much startled at first, but seeing who it was, disposed myself to turn to him, when he gave me a kiss, and desiring me to keep my posture, just lifted up my upper thigh, and ascertaining the right opening, soon drove it up to the farthest. In short, We were quickly recruited of last night's draughts of pleasure. With this noble and agreeable youth lived I in perfect joy and constancy. He was full bent on keeping me to himself, for the honey month at least. But his stay in London was not even so long. His father, who had a post in Ireland, took him abruptly with him on his repairing thither. Yet even then I was near keeping hold of his affection and person. But meeting with an agreeable and advantageous match in Ireland, he chose the wiser part, and forbore sending for me, but at the same time took care that I should receive a very magnificent present, which did not, however, compensate for all my deep regret on my loss of him. This event also created a little chasm in our society, which Mrs. Cole was in no haste to fill up. But then it redoubled her attention to procure me, in the advantages of a traffic for a counterfeit maidenhead, some consolation for the sort of widowhood I had been left in. And this was a scheme she had never lost prospect of, and only waited for a proper person to bring it to bear with. But I was, it seems, fated to be my own caterer in this, as I had been in my first trial of the market.